We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Throws near side, it's caught, and slipping away is Tavion Robinson down the near sideline. Tavion into the end zone. Sweet feet, Tay. Touchdown, Virginia Tech Hokies.
This is Hokies Game Plan with Tech coordinators Justin Hamilton and Brad Cornelson.
He is pressured by Barno and is going down again. This time give it to Trey. Trying to turn the corner. Inside the five, across the goal line, near side. Touchdown, Tech. And the Hokies are back on top on a run from Trey Turner.
Here we go.
Time to go inside the coach's room and get ready for the game.
Yes.
Here's your hosts, John Lazor and Mike Burnett.
Hello once again, Hokies. It is Hokies Game Plan Richmond Week as Virginia Tech returns home to open, incredibly, a four-game with a bye in the middle homestand. We'll get into that as we will. A number of topics throughout the course of the show. John Lazor, as always, alongside Tech Hall of Famer Mike Burnup, and we welcome back in coordinators Justin Hamilton on the defensive side, Brad Cornelson on the offensive side. And guys, thanks as always for your time. We spent a lot of last week talking about what you would face in West Virginia and the hostility and all of those things. I know it was a disappointing result, certainly for the football team. Did not come without a lot of fight at the end. And ultimately, Corn, as we start with you, a dramatic ending to that game, which unfortunately is a negative outcome. I know a lot is made and said and all of those things. My question to you is, as the play caller, how long do you allow yourself to dwell on the woulda, coulda, shoulda when you come out of a game like that?
Well, you don't get much time, but I think there's – some of them you don't ever forget about, for good reason. You know, I mean, there's always calls every game, win or lose, you know, whether you play well or not, that you take your notes down or you put it in your old mental bank that, you know, that's how you continue to get better as a play caller. So, looking back on it, they did a nice job in short yardage. A couple of those calls, you know, I wish we would have had a different call in. And then ultimately, you know, the couple of times in the red zone late where, you know, we got to get points and would like to have a call or two back, you know, and we didn't, you know, we didn't turn the ball over, but we just We didn't capitalize on the momentum, the turnovers from the defense, and having a chance to get ourselves back in the game and win it ultimately. And that was disappointing. We were disappointed for our guys because they did they hung in there and kept fighting, believing, playing hard. And man, you could just feel it. You could feel the momentum, it hurt not being able to pull it out there at the end for our guys.
And Ham, just talk about the start of the game for you guys. The first five plays kind of got you pretty good there. The tackling wasn't great, but after that, you settled down. The second half, didn't give up many yards, only a field goal, forced two turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, it could not have started worse for Virginia Tech in the beginning in that environment. Could not have started better for West Virginia. The second play of the game was the call that we had practiced more than any call all week. And, we just had a couple of guys that got displaced from gaps, and a good running back made a really nice play, and that kind of got them started. And then the touchdown, in that situation, ball near midfield, it's first and 10, and you get a hard count, you got to expect shots. So we kind of – it's been a long time. We talked about it all week. It's been a really long time since our kids have been in the visiting team or as the visiting team in a stadium that's like that. And I think that even though we talked about it a lot, it kind of stunned them a little bit. But to their credit, like you said, they did settle in. And I think they just got an understanding for this environment's not going to change unless we make it change. And we made a couple of adjustments. The kids were able to handle it and made some plays, got some takeaways. And in the end, it was we just got outplayed a little bit, kind of ran out of time. But they did fight. They fought to the very end, and I was proud of them for that.
Corn, I know that you'll never use anything as an excuse, but you lose Silas Janzy in the first half of that football game. Parker Clements, I don't think a lot of people realize, was not on the trip, so you're down basically your two right tackles. How much does that change what you were able or what you tried to accomplish offensively in that game, ultimately having to wind up with Brock Hoffman, a valiant effort on the outside, but certainly not where his finest position is?
Yeah, it changes a little bit, but, We have capable guys, in the off season, in the spring, in the fall camp. I mean, you plan, you practice guys at different positions that can do those things. So, in the heat of the moment on game day, it changes things a little bit. But we certainly have capable guys. Would have liked to have protected them in a couple of calls a little bit more. Hindsight, but. Was proud of it. It's always in that environment, the way the game was going, and then for those guys up front to have to move around and adjust is a tough thing to overcome. But we've got guys up there that can handle that and moved around and did a nice job. A couple of plays that resulted in. And some negative plays felt like, we could have done a better job of maybe helping those guys out with a couple of those calls.
How in the world did you guys handle halftime? I mean, that locker room was so small. We were down there, had a little piece of it in our little corner over there. I don't even know how you could even communicate or get anything done. Did you have to go in the hallway? What did y'all do to even talk about how the first half went, and what are you going to do for the second half?
As defensive coaches, we actually sat outside the locker room to talk with each other. And then by the time we got into the kids, it was kind of like have a board and draw what you wanted to draw and show it to this aisle and then reach over and show it to that aisle and kind of peek back and forth. It's one of those deals where you go on the road and you don't know what that atmosphere in the locker room is going to be like. You just got to make do. But as I mentioned, I mean, we made adjustments at halftime, and our kids looked at us and said, "We understand what you're saying," and they went out and they executed those adjustments. So that was good to see.
Corn, what about you? Did you have any issues?
No, I mean, we've had that on the road. It's always a coin flip. When you head on the road, you never know what's going to be waiting for you there. So, you make do, and there's not much time to do anything else. So, you gather up tight and get rolling.
Corn Braxton Burmeister, in the course of that game, it got lost a little bit, and the outcome made a couple spectacular plays. Third and 24, he converts essentially on his own. There was another third down conversion where they actually reviewed when he was all the way to the sideline and threw back across. Beautiful throw to Tavion Robinson. I know there were a couple that he missed and a couple that maybe, like the week prior, you would have wanted him to pull the trigger on. what you were just telling us, though, you've had a conversation. He's responded really well in practice leading to Richmond.
Yeah, he's a competitor, you know, and he wants to play at a high level. He's got the tools to do it. We got to just continue to find the right things for him, you know, the right situations. And he's going to continue to get better and continue to play better every single week. And that's what we need from him. You know, we need he's so comfortable with his feet, you know, and he's making big plays from, you know, in you know, particular moments of the game, big plays at times. But, you know, there's other times where we need him to just go ahead and pull the trigger, you know, and there's that fine balance as a quarterback between taking care of the football and, you know, anticipating a throw and cutting it loose. And he's still figuring that out. And he's had a really good 2 days of practice here this week and like where he's at right now.
Fu talked about we got to get some more guys in the game. I mean, it was hot. It was humid. Guys were cramping up out there. He says we just got to throw them out there because at the end of the season we're not going to have any wheels and any tread on the tires. Who might we see more of, like, moving forward here?
I mean, on our side, it's – I know – at most positions, they're rolling a lot of guys. At the linebacker spot, Dean Ferguson and Keyshawn Artis have been in that rotation. D-line, they rotate almost every game. Corners, we've had three in the rotation. And then at safety, there's been a few that have been in the rotation. You know, the guy that I would like to get some breaks for is Shamari Connor because, you know, he's covering kicks, he's covering punts, he's playing on defense. And, I mean, he's just a warrior. So, and you don't want to have him off the field, but you do understand that everybody's human. You know, and in that room, it's Keontae Jenkins, Tay Daly, and it's Jalen Stroman. Nasir Peoples obviously got has been out there. So we have a somewhat of a rotation. But, you know, as the year goes on, it's that fine balance of, you know, who can you get out there that's ready to go play and be in the atmospheres that we're in. And then you got to win the game. So it's balancing that. But we definitely understand that the more guys you can play and try to save some of that tread, the better.
Corn, on your side, will that be a little bit more of Jaden and D-Loft and those guys?
Yeah, I think that position in particular with the running that they have to do is always the position you got to try to continue to work people into. So D-Loft and Jaden, you know, those are the two guys that have been taking the reps in practice that I think are ready to step in there and play a little bit more to give those guys a break. And, you know, we've got to get them in there. You know, Malachi Thomas is a young kid at tailback that's looked really good. That's ready to get in there and see what he can do also.
Ham, when you look at Amari Barno, the success he had in the first game, I know he's been moving around a little bit, you know, doing him in different things and coverage and whatnot. How can he be a little bit more effective? More of an impact?
I think it's in part, you know, some of the times where we've had him in dropping in coverage, you know, this past game plan was with what we had seen other teams do that were successful, plus with his awareness and coverage. But it's also that other teams watch him on film and see his effectiveness and chip him or have guys double him or slide the protection his way. But really, I think it's just continuing to coach him through, hey, we're going to put you in spots. We're not going to just drop you back all the time. We're going to let you rush and go eat. And then in the run game, you know, being a factor when the run is going directly at him, he's amazing when the run's going away. Not bad when the run's coming at him, but just understanding that that may be a way people try to wear him down. But just continuing to love him up, coach him up, and just make sure that he stays the course. But that is part of being a popular player, a guy that gets a lot of attention, is you get a lot of attention from the opponents too. And I think that that's something that we've seen in the past two games also.
Is Taiwan benefiting from the attention he's getting on the other side?
He's benefiting a little bit from that, but a lot from practicing hard, which transitions to the games. I mean, he's a great practice player. He gives a lot of effort, and he plays really, really hard. He gives everything he has, and he's kind of just a high-motor, scrappy guy that does benefit from that, but he creates a lot of his own success too.
Corn, how about Caleb Smith, man? He had a good game, caught six balls. How cool is it going to be for him, too? His parents, his mother played basketball at Richmond. His father was a safety there, got drafted. How cool is that for him and that family?
Oh, he's been a treat to coach. You know, he just keeps working. He takes advantage of his opportunities. We've really seen him grown over the last year or so, you know, a little bit more and some change there. But of just making the big plays, the tough plays. You know, he's always been a hard worker, a big kid that can run and smart and tough and practice as hard every day, never on a list, just everything you want out of a player and a leader. And so to see him be put in those opportunities in those critical moments and come up with big plays. It's starting to become something we're seeing more and more of, and as that happens, he gets put in more of those situations. But was happy to see him make some really big plays, and going to need some more of that.
Ham, I can't believe we missed this last week, and I put it on myself, particularly because your birthday buddy's with my wife. It was your birthday week last week. We failed to wish you a happy birthday going in, and then when I saw it on Friday, I immediately felt bad and texted you. So happy belated birthday from the entire Hokies Game Plan crew, which is just Mike and I, as you know. How is it? Your birthday obviously is always during the season, and for my wife, it's the same for us as well, and I couldn't leave her behind, obviously, so we brought her to Morgantown. How are you guys able to celebrate?
On Thursday night, we had steaks and cakes, actually. Didn't plan on making that a deal, but and got to spend time with the kids and the wife. So we just kind of had a chill night, in our house. That's if we have free time and are able to do something together, we just got our spots on the couch or hang with the kids. But the bigger news is 2 days after my birthday, Ace turned one. So
that's
that
right,
overshadows.
Yeah.
My birthday doesn't even matter anymore. We're celebrating him. That's really what we did.
Did you do the smash cake?
We did smash cupcakes.
Did he get into it?
He got into them. He's got like some kind of a tube or something, like a $15 tube from Target that like expands out, and he rolls all around it right now. So he stole the weekend show.
Well, Corn, we can't have a repeat of this, by the way. When is your birthday so we don't go over 2 here on Game Plan this year?
It's in February. So
okay, we're out of luck then.
We're in the middle of hoop season. Yeah, we'll forget
I'll
it.
Shoot you a call.
Corn, how about Keyshawn King? What can we look forward to him? Obviously, didn't make the trip last week. Will he be back more involved now?
Yeah, he's had a good week of practice, and he's an explosive guy that, whether it's the return game or just getting him the ball in space from the backfield or out of the backfield, he's got to continue to be there, and when he has his opportunities, take care of the football and let his explosiveness, his talent, come to the forefront and help us be productive. And he's had a great week, so hopefully we'll be able to get him in there and see what he can do a little bit.
Corn, it seems like week by week you're able to unlock more and more of the potential of Raheem Blackshear in terms of using him in the pass game, but also in the more conventional run game. How have you gone about putting that in and putting in specific things for him?
Well, we put a lot in last year. He could do so many things. We experimented with a lot of different things from him, and as we, having Khalil have such a great season also, we're constantly trying to get maybe both of them on the field, and with that, you're trying to use Raheem in a lot of different ways. So we've dabbled in a lot of that through, all the way back to last year. So there's a lot of things that we have that we know he can do, and we don't want to do all those things every single week. So it comes down to game plan and what you can fit in, what fits in with what you're doing, with what you're seeing from the defense. But been pleased with him, the way he's playing, and the things he's been able to do in the run game and the pass game.
Ham, what about Narelle Pollard? We don't talk much about him, and he's just been kind of steady Eddie in the middle in there, hadn't he?
Yeah, he has. Excuse me. Narelle is – he's just one of my favorites as far as a lot of them, but because he's the same guy with everybody that he talks to every day. I've said this about him before. He could be talking to the president of the United States or his best friend from high school, and it's going to sound with his part of the conversation exactly the same. He doesn't change. He doesn't do any of that, and he just is a guy that wants to be coached. He wants to learn. He wants to understand what's supposed to be happening, how he can go play fast and make plays, or how he can help the team. And it shows. I mean, he has grown from a young, undersized guy with a lot of energy to a veteran that understands what's happening and is passionate about his craft. And he is. He's a steady guy that I love having on our team.
Justin Hamilton, Brad Cornelson are our guests, or co-hosts, I should say, as they are each and every week. This is Hokies Game Plan, and it is a game week as the Hokies will welcome the Richmond Spiders here to Lane Stadium. Let's turn the page, guys. I know you've already done that right when you got back or even when you got on the bus from Morgantown. But as you look at this Richmond offense and you see all that experience, Jay Ham, how can they hurt you? Joe Mancuso, of course, has been there for 6 years. That offensive line returns 123 starts or whatever. What are the challenges that they will pose for you?
The same that you just said, a veteran group, a group of guys that they understand their system. They understand how to play with each other, and they've got good players. You know, the quarterback is, he's kind of the general back there. He has very good control of the offense, and, you know, you don't see them very often make mistakes, which is what you would expect from a veteran group. They're in a good league. And they've played in a lot of these games. Like, this is not new to them. The environment won't be new to them. And it's a group of guys that they're going to come in here expecting to win, ready to play. And then they're a play caller. You know, I've coached against him when I was at VMI, and he was at Chattanooga, and he's going to present a lot of different looks, a lot of different formations, make you adjust, and try to slow you down with that. So we've got a big challenge on our hands, and we know that every week. But it's important for our guys to come out ready to play and to go execute what we ask them to do.
And Corn, the same thing. How about with the defense? What do you see out of their defense? I mean, you look, they got a bunch of guys that can run. Their linebackers look like they're the leading tacklers. And you look down there, they're like seniors and graduate students. So they've got some experience.
Yeah, I mean, when we turned them on this summer to study them going into the season, I mean, their defensive line jumps off the film. You know, got some experience, got some age there, but just big, strong guys with twitch, with play hard, the whole deal, you know. Definitely got our hands full with them up front. Very solid experience at linebacker, too. Not quite as experienced in the back end, you know. Lost a couple guys, but very solid back there. But you know, when you turn on the film and what you see most is just base defense, and you look at, you know, how they've played defensively, and they're playing really, really well, playing a lot of base defense, that usually means there's some pretty good players over there that know how to get off blocks and play their gaps and win one-on-one matchups. And so we've got a huge challenge, you know, and it starts up front with that defensive line. We're going to have to do a great job of coming off the ball, of that extra effort it's going to take to stay on blocks, move our feet, finish plays, and, you know, get what we can up inside, you know, but try to make some big plays on the outside in the pass game, on the edges, you know, and maybe try to wear them down on the inside and pick our moments to run the ball up inside a little bit.
Corn, I know because of the health status of Silas Janzy, and that's still kind of day-to-day right now in terms of his availability, you've had to look at some contingency plans on the offensive line as you enter this game. I don't want to reveal what I think I know you're going to do, but at the same time, you do have the luxury of Johnny Jordan that allows you some options, right?
Yeah, absolutely. When you have, you know, the center position is the biggest piece, you know, of as you start moving guys around, when you have two guys in Hoffman and Johnny Jordan that can play multiple positions and be your starting center, that's really nice. You know, it gives you an opportunity to move some guys around. And we've got some experienced guys. We've got some older guys that have moved around in practice and in game. So, you know, those guys are going to have to be ready to play multiple positions and left side, right side, whatever it takes. And I know those guys are up for the challenge. And you know, they watch the film too, so it's not hard to get them ready to go this week, knowing what they're about to face up front.
Hammond always starts with stopping the run. Their running backs are pretty daggone good. They're all averaging 4.5, 5.5 yards a carry. You look down, they don't have many negative yards,
yep.
And they're getting about a 170 game. They're pretty good on third downs. What do you see out of that running game?
Well, you see guys that run hard and break tackles, and they pound the ball up inside. They got perimeter run plays, and it's multiple people. You know, they got kind of a stable of guys that they roll at their opponents, and they do a good job. They protect the football, and the running game opens up the passing game. But it's ultimately what it boils down to is guys fitting in gaps and making the tackles that they're supposed to make. And that's something that's easier said than done. I mean, when you got to go tackle people that don't want to be tackled, you've got to get population to the ball, and you've got to do a great job with your leverage, your angles, your eyes. And it's always the challenge week to week, but it's something that we also each week try to put an emphasis on and make sure that that's right before we talk about anything else in the game plan.
Corn, when you look at them on their third down conversions, teams don't have a lot of success on them on third downs, and then their red zone defense looks like it's been outstanding as well. How do you crack that nut?
Well, again, they're able to line up and play a lot of base, and then in some critical situations when they want to come after you, they do a nice job of picking their moments. You know, it's they don't show you. You know, they don't. They're going to kind of line up the same way every time, and The advantage for them in doing that is it's hard to see pre-snap. The advantage on our end of that is sometimes there's a little bit more time because the blitzes are coming from a little bit more distance when they're not showing them. But they kind of lull you to sleep a little bit, and they play base and they play well, and then pick their moments to come after you a little bit. And again, they're just a really, really sound defense with good, tough physical players, all around.
This is Hokie's Game Plan with Ham and Korn. And, guys, this one for both of you. As you just mentioned, your time at VMI, Ham, and, of course, you have roots in FCS, 1AA football as well. Korn, I know both of you have tremendous respect for that level. What's the biggest misconception that the general fan base has about FCS as compared to FBS football?
For me, I think it would be just kind of name recognition that because of whatever that school's name is, the FCS school, the FBS school should beat them. And in my time in the Southern Conference, there's James Bradbury, who's an NFL starter at corner, played at Samford. Cortland Finnegan had just been there. There was a big D tackle at Samford, the quarterback, Devlin Hodges. And then at Chattanooga, they had a couple of kids that ended up getting a shot, and Mercer had a couple of kids. There's really good players, and it's guys that, for whatever reason, they could be second chance guys. It could be guys that academically maybe had issues or whatever the case may have been. They might have just been late bloomers, but there were really good players at that level. They're really good players in other outside of the league that we watched, and they're going to be prepared and ready. And as we've mentioned already, a lot of times at those places you get veteran guys that have been at the same school for a long time, so they have that going for them, which is always a positive. And it's any Saturday, whoever's out there, they're hard to beat. Wins are hard to get.
Korn, same thing to you. I know you and Fu and everybody go back to the FCS level, of course.
Yeah, and I would echo what Jayham said about there's talent. There's guys that go play in the NFL from these teams at this level every single year. They may not all get drafted, or you may not know their names, but there's big time players at this level, and this is the game that they've been looking at since the schedule came out, and playing on the other end of this. You're sky high. You're as a competitor, which all these teams are filled with competitive kids and coaches, and going into another team stadium like this, they're going to be, we're going to get their best shot. There's no question about it, and they're going to throw everything they have at us, and players are going to play with great effort and emotion, and so that's I don't know if looking at it from the outside, I don't know if everybody always gets the sense of that when these teams come in here, like this type of game, that man, they're sky high, they're ready to go. It's a battle from the very start.
They had a tough loss last week, just like the Hokies did. They were down and they come back, they score 24 points I guess in the third quarter and get beat in the fourth quarter. This is gonna be a 60-minute game. You guys hadn't quite put one together yet, your team hadn't, right? But this is going to be one of those that probably will go all the way, and you need to play engaged and intense the whole game.
Yeah, and that's the challenge for your team week to week as the season starts going on, as you're learning. You got a new game plan, you got a new opponent you're getting ready for, but man, just getting yourself mentally and emotionally, physically ready to go lay it on the line and play at the type of level that you have to play with to win against whoever you're lining up against that week. So got a huge challenge, and got a couple more days to kind of put the polishing touches on and our guys to get ready emotionally to go play at a high level.
For us, it's like Korn said, week to week, it's like you go through and you empty the tank on Saturday. And then you spend Sunday, Monday trying to recharge. Tuesday is usually a difficult day. You've got, like Korn said, a new game plan, a new opponent, new ways they're trying to attack you, and guys that still don't feel all the way healthy, that are still banged up a little bit or sore from the previous game. And then Wednesday rolls around, and it's like you've got your new situations, you've got your red zone or your short yardage or whatever it is that you're installing that day, third down. And then Thursday, you try to tie it all together. You scale back on the physicality of practice. And then by Friday, you hope that they're ready to be filled up and empty it out again.
Is it harder to lose a game like West Virginia the other day, or just to get flat out beat like maybe Pittsburgh last year?
I don't know. They're all tough. Yeah, they're all. Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever walked off and said that was a good loss.
I felt good. I'm gonna go get ice cream. well, off topic, guys. As we get to our final minutes with Hammond Corn, let them get back to game planning. I know you probably weren't in the greatest mood a Saturday night, but did you happen to catch UVA and UNC? And did anything surprise you in that?
I saw it, and I mean, week to week, it's really hard to say anything surprises you. I mean, you know what both of those offenses and quarterbacks are capable of. I was, I guess, a little bit surprised because those defenses have played against those offenses so many times, but it's more so a credit to the players on offense. I mean, it's really difficult to stop people, and it's really difficult, particularly when you start the boat starts to take on some water. And, I mean, that much offense, that much scoring is – that's always kind of an anomaly. But it's – I mean, it can go that way, and it can go that way quick. And it's difficult. You got to stop the bleeding, and guys are keeping – they're bringing it at you. So not surprised per se, but obviously that was a lot of yards and points.
Like J-Ham, you see the score, and there's a little bit of a shock value to it if you just flash over and see the score. But, you know, I think we all say it to our players all the time is, and you can't take what another team did the week before or 2 weeks before or what they did against the team that you guys played, week two or whatever it is. You just cannot compare week to week, and that's it just every single week you see a score like that jumps out when you see it, and it just kind of reaffirms that point.
Boy, the get through this week, and then you got an open date, which will be kind of nice before that stretch at the end. That's going to be brutal, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like to reference 2020 very often, but having like 10 straight or whatever it was also brutal. But, I mean, it's one of those things, and coaches say it all the time, but after week one, it's kind of like – you start to get into a rhythm. You're not ever going to be back to 100%. The bye week is nice to recharge. But, I mean, every week you've got to get ready to play, and you've got to get ready to play against a team that's good enough to beat you, and it's going to be probably a 60-minute battle. So you kind of condition yourself for that as much as you can. But for the kids, it's tough with classes and all the different things that take place. But every week that's the challenge, is to try to get them right and get them ready.
All right, guys, it is time for our most popular segment. It is Kernels of Corn and Ham Sandwiches. It's been 8 episodes, and we haven't thought of a better title. And I hear about it. We haven't invested much time, if I'm being honest, in trying to find a better title. But it's working. Ham, last week we were having some fun with the other Justin Hamilton, and you said, you know, we're going to find out a lot about you when there's adversity, which we now have. Have we learned anything?
I haven't, as far as for him. I couldn't tell you, but I have not heard people talking about him being on shows or being whatever it was on. Like, he's been a healthy scratch this week. But I would like to hear how he would talk to his team or his comedic crew about how we respond, how we get back, because I might be able to grab something to use it for our guys.
And Corn, on you, I know you don't pay any attention. I remember Coach Beamer, and Mike remembers this, would always say, I don't read anything or hear anything after losses. How true that was, we don't know. But Cheryl Beamer would hear it all, Mike. She would tell us about it and continues to do that. I know you don't pay attention to any of that stuff. You can't. But does Jamie, and does any of that ever get to her?
Oh, I'm sure it does, you know. She learned our first year here, you know, that even with a whatever, you know, 10-win season and you know, a really fun year, that even in those seasons it's still the same. So I think she kind of learned her lesson that first year too.
If you guys weren't coaching right now, what would you be doing?
I, for instance, would be a male model.
Maybe broke.
I'd be an out of work male model.
I would probably be like the guys that I saw Saturday morning at the resort where we stayed, that were teeing off as we're going through our final pregame preparations and getting ready to go through a 4-hour stomach ache. They look like they were about to go decide, were we going to go driver or iron off the tee? And that was like the hardest decision they had. So I'd probably be doing something related to that.
How about you, Corn?
Well, that's good. I like that answer right there. You know, I would have no idea. But something that would allow you to play some golf in the fall on a Saturday morning, that sounds pretty good to me.
Well, we know maybe next week on the bye week, but definitely not this week. Well, guys, we appreciate it. And for those that listen, you know, never a doubt in our minds that when it's great, it's great. And when it's not, we always know you guys are going to be here and be stand-up guys, and we can't say we appreciate that enough, as we do you and your time each and every week. Thanks so much, and as always, we'll be behind you on Saturday.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck. Get back on track.
Thank you.
Justin Hamilton, the Justin Hamilton here in Blacksburg, and the Brad Cornelison. They make their way out. I got a special one-on-one conversation with Raheem Blackshear. You find out if he likes the nickname The Dream or not in a couple of moments. And then Mike will rejoin me on the other end, and we will discuss how the Hokies do, in fact, get back on track as they welcome the Richmond Spiders to Lane Stadium. 12:03 kick time, all the broadcast particulars as well. This is Hokies Game Plan, sending our appreciation to both coordinators, Ham and Corn.
When you support Main Street Pharmacy, you also support your Virginia Tech Hokies. Main Street Pharmacy is locally owned in Blacksburg by a proud Hokie alum. We have quick, superior service, we save people money, and we have free delivery to the Virginia Tech campus, Blacksburg, and Christiansburg. Our patients are our family, and we invite you to join us today. Transferring prescriptions is easy. Visit msblacksburg.com or call us at 540-605-7721, and we'll take care of everything. Main Street Pharmacy. We treat you like a neighbor, not a number.
You're listening to Hokies Game Plan with Jay Ham and Corn on the Virginia Tech Hokie Pod Network.
Hokies Game Plan continues as we continue to get you set for the Richmond Spiders. They are in Blacksburg, 12:03 kickoff. As always, we appreciate the time from coordinators Brad Cornelison and Justin Hamilton, and that also applies to our guests now, running back Raheem Blackshear. And Heem, we finally get to do this and catch up, man. Thank you for taking the time. You just told me this is what we signed up for in terms of how you're feeling, but how are you feeling physically coming off a tough battle at West Virginia?
I'm feeling good. I mean, we always heard about the loss, you know, but we know we got to respond back to it, so I feel like we're going to get back at it, you know. We got a game at home. You know, we're ready to get back to work. We're working hard to get back where we need to be.
You scored the touchdown that really triggered the comeback for this team, and there was a moment you went to the sideline and people were trying to congratulate you, and you said, no, guys, we got work to do. How do you view that leadership role from yourself for this team? Because certainly that did get the guys going forward.
It was just me telling guys, keep our composure, you know. We was down in the game, but I know my guys and my brothers around me, we're not going to quit. There's one thing I know, we got that bond, we got that brothership, the brotherhood we built, we're never going to quit. So I'm just keeping my guys, like, listen, we're about to get back to work, let's go.
How gratifying has it been through the first three games this season to showcase to this fan base Raheem Blackshear, the player? It was a difficult set of circumstances. I know you were making no excuses last year, but at the same time, it was what it was, and now we're starting to see that dynamic playmaker. How do you feel this year as opposed to last year, your first year in the program?
I feel like I just need to get more comfortable, you know? I didn't have, you know, a full release season to get ready and everything, so now I got that full season, really got the bond with my players, my O-line and my quarterback. And I feel like this has helped me improve my game, you know. So just having that offseason and everything, getting to bond with my team, it just helped me improve.
Raheem Blackshear is with us, and you also got your first experience of a full lane stadium against North Carolina. You come from Rutgers, who, of course, is in the Big Ten. What was that like when you guys ran out of the tunnel?
That was amazing. They said the best college fans in college football. That was absolutely true. You know, coming out of the tunnel was shaking. I'm like, this is awesome. You know, my mom and dad was in the stands. They were just telling me how the energy up was there, and the energy really was there. And I feel like that just made me want to go even harder for my fans and everybody.
You mentioned your parents there, and I know they're exceptionally important to you and were supportive last year in the process. We forget about the waiver and what was necessary and all of those things. How much do you lean on your family in terms of not just football, but your life in general?
I lean on my family for everything, you know. I got my dad, my mom, I look at them as a best friend. You know, they always got my back. So anything I need in my life, you know, my dad going to tell me when I'm doing my rights, my dad going to tell me when I'm doing my wrongs. So just having a father that's going to guide me in the right path to be a better man, a better person on the field. And I really appreciate my mom and dad, you know.
Again, Raheem Blackshear is with us. This is Hokies Game Plan. Last year, of course, Raheem used in a bit of a different way because Khalil was having so much success. How has your role now that it's kind of you and Jalen and Keyshawn a little bit as that three-headed monster?
I feel like this three-headed monster is very dangerous, you know. All of us is like competitive. We all love each other. You know, we're going to go out here and compete. We're going to go out here and make the team, whatever we can do to make the team better on special teams or us running the ball, catching the ball, pass blocking. We just all want to contribute on the field.
The week of practice, as this offense tries to get to that dynamic level, what have you experienced in terms of the rhythm of this offense going into this Richmond game?
I feel like we got our connection back, you know. I feel like we probably wasn't as connected as we should have been, you know, but I feel like we connected back again, so we about to get back to work. I feel like we needed that little spark, you know. We got the spark underneath us now. I feel like we're ready to get back to work.
It seems as though there's veteran leadership. We discussed this earlier on this team in terms of the pride level. I noticed it in the locker room at West Virginia as well. There was a lot of guys that were taking personal accountability. What does that do when you get back out here? And I know there's a sense of frustration is not the word, but anger, because you know there is those other levels you can get to.
I feel like the pride level is like, it's just something that we all got, you know. Nobody really want to lose a game. And just losing that game, it just showed us, like, we need to come together more as a team, as a brotherhood, as we are. And the brotherhood, I feel like that helped us grow stronger, because in the locker room, we're more connected and everything. So I feel like this is going to be a good game this week. It's going to be a good game.
You mentioned the fans. They have taken to calling you Raheem the Dream. That's kind of the obvious nickname. How do you feel about that? And is there another nickname that maybe you have that we are not aware of?
So I got a special person that called me Tink Tink. I can't really discuss that, but that's my little nickname for her, whatever. My mom, you know, I'm always going to be her baby. I'm the youngest and everything, so she always tells me I'm her baby. So just to have that name, the fans call me Raheem the Dream, is just a blessing, you know. Got my best friend, one of my friends here in Nasir Peoples, you know, from high school. Just getting to be able to play with him is like a dream come true.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that connection with Nasir. How impactful is that in terms of choosing to come here to Virginia Tech? How rewarding has that been, as he's also really developed into a leader on the other side of the ball?
I feel like that was a big impact, you know, just having somebody that I can lean on and really trust, you know, and just by me and him having that connection through high school and everything, it was just like a no-brainer. I'm going to come play with my brother. I'm going to come rock with you.
So you probably weren't aware of this, but before you arrived in this program, we had a running back named Stephen Peoples, who was kind of the big plowback, and we called him Stephen My Peoples. So now that he's gone, Nasir is My Peoples, and you are the Dream, and now just representing here in Blacksburg, and it's all good.
That's a blessing, man. It's a blessing.
All right, we'll get you out of here. We know you have a lot of obligations this week, both on and off the field, before kick time on Saturday. But tell me about some of these young guys that we haven't necessarily seen yet. Malachi Thomas, Kenji Chance, all those guys. There's a lot of talent that we're not seeing on the field right now because, of course, you have the more veteran hands like yourself up there carrying the football. But what does the future of that position look like?
I feel like the future is going to be really bright for them. You know, Malachi is a kid who really stepped up and impressed a lot of coaches, a lot of players on the team. Chance is a really a big explosive guy, you know. Yeah, get them little cuts and everything. Chance will have a really bright future. Kenji's going to be a hell of a player here. I promise you that. Kenji is a good kid, you know. Just had to get, like, get under his feet, get back to learning the little plays and everything. But when them kids get this stuff together and everything, that's going to be a crazy three-headed monster.
He is Raheem Blackshear. He is part of the current three-headed monster, and that will be on display again on Saturday. Richmond Spiders in town, 12:03. Dream, we appreciate it, my man. Continued success.
Thank you so much, man.
Raheem the Dream Blackshear, kind with his time. And again, he's got a busy schedule, as the Hokies do. They start a four-game homestand, believe it or not. Mike Burnup and I will talk about that on the other side as we continue and conclude this week's Hokie Game Plan. We do so with thanks once again to Raheem Blackshear.
If you're a Hokies fan, you've got an appetite for winning. And if you're a Smithfield fan, you've got an appetite for our flavorful hickory smoked bacon and our deliciously versatile anytime favorites ham. As a proud sponsor of Virginia Tech football, we invite you to start every game day with a hearty Smithfield breakfast. It's the protein-packed way to get your morning started and prepare yourself for another victory. Fire up, Hokie Nation. Smithfield, for the love of meat.
Time to install the game plan with Hokie's Game Plan from Hokie Pod.
Hokie's Game Plan rolls along and also concludes. Plenty of thank yous to say on this week's episode. Of course, Justin Hamilton, Brad Cornelson spent more than a half hour with you, and we appreciate that, as we know you do. Raheem Blackshear was awesome to talk to him. And as I bring back in my Hall of Fame broadcast partner, Mike Burnup, you hear the conversation, Mike, and I ask Raheem, I'm trying to ask him how he's doing physically, because, of course, he just had a battle on his hands last week with the temperature and the volume of snaps that he was playing, and he just simply said, this is what I signed up for. And I said, I know, but I'm actually asking how you're feeling, and he reiterated, this is what I signed up for. So basically, buzz off, I'm fine, and I'm ready to carry the football.
Yeah, which is good. I mean, it was hot up there, Lays. I mean, 90-some degrees on that turf, and just the cramping up issues we've seen, and you know the lack of practice that you can do because of NCAA rules is different. But he has just been a workhorse. You think about that: 10 carries, 47 yards, had no negative plays there. He was also heavily involved in the passing game, had about 4 catches there, and then the return game. I mean, he has been a valuable guy, and you hated that he cramped up because maybe they could have used him at the end a little more, but it just wasn't to be. So. You know, you need all your weapons, especially when you're coming off a loss, and just like Richmond is too. But this should be a whale of a ball game. They got a really good team. And I hope the fans understand, you know, how good they are and how they could be undefeated. You know, they had that tough loss to Villanova, but they got some really good players, veteran players, and they'll be a handful Saturday.
Yeah, they kind of remind me a little bit of that Furman team that gave the Hokies some trouble a couple of years ago. And this is, as you just said with Justin Hamilton, or as you did a few minutes back talking to Justin Hamilton, this is not going to be a walkover game for Virginia Tech. I want the fans to understand that so they're not surprised by it. You know, you look at the teams in FCS, Mike, and for whatever reason, we seem to get the ones at the top level. There are some teams at the bottom of FCS that you would be able to steamroll, probably even with your backups. But we need it to be known. The Spiders are not in that category. I spent 6 years living in Richmond, and I know the pride that that program has.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, he's done a great job coaching them up and got a really good staff. And, you know, you look at through that roster, I mean, they're grad students and seniors on both sides of the ball, and a lot of them, good skill people. You know, they're good on third downs. They're good in the red zone. And, yeah, they'll be a handful. And for this, when they look at this game, they think, man, we got a chance to play an ACC team in a great venue like Lane Stadium. I mean, this is going to be fun for those kids that maybe didn't get an offer from a Virginia Tech or whatever. So it's like a bowl game for them. And coming off a tough loss, they want to get to their conference season just as much as the Hokies do eventually. And this will be a big game for them. And, you know, you got to play 60 minutes. You can't get off to slow starts and those type of things and take a playoff here or there. Hopefully they'll get some of the issues that we saw last week resolved. And, you know, everything will be better. The tackling will be better and the red zone plays will be better and executed better. And it'll be a fun day for everybody to celebrate a noon kickoff and have some plenty of time that night.
Good thing this is podcast form. John Laser, Mike Burnham, as we're wrapping up, I have to circle back, my man, because, you know, we always have each other's backs, and that's just the way it works on our radio crew. I know that I'm past my prime from a physical perspective. It was a very short prime, but you don't think I could have made it for a couple of years in my 20s in the male modeling world?
Oh, absolutely. And you can make it right now. It's the leprechaun for Notre Dame. I can't wait till we get him back in the house down here. If you lose that day job, we can put that green hat on you, Lace.
Oh, yep. All I'd have to do is draw out the strawberry blonde beard, and I'm in there.
Especially in hoop season. That's close and personal. No, you could have done that, absolutely, back in the day.
Yeah, no shot whatsoever. One of the members of our crew could have, and his name is Mike Burnup. Anyway, buddy, been fun as always. Looking forward, I think we are just as much as anybody else, is getting back in lane, getting back on the good foot, and getting out of the outhouse as we were rolling in the penthouse for a couple of weeks, and the Hokies can do that certainly by stringing together a strong performance against Richmond. In terms of the broadcast particulars, our crew will fire it up. Mike and Wes and Luther will be out with you, mingling with the fans out on Washington Street outside of Castle. Make sure you stop by and say hello. They certainly appreciate when you do that. That will start with the Tech Kickoff Show at 10:30 a.m. I'll jump into the fray up in the booth with our Smithfield Countdown to Kickoff. Mike and I will co-host that at 11:30. Kickoff at 12:03. For those that are wondering, be inside the bowl by 11:58. That's when Enter Sandman will strike here in Blacksburg. 4-game homestand. And again, next week, the bye week as well. Hokies looking to roll into that with some momentum. Again, our thanks to Justin Hamilton, Brad Cornelson, along with Raheem Blackshear and Pete Morris for making those interviews possible. For Mike Burnup and all the aforementioned, I'm John Laser, sending our biggest thanks to you. Thanks for being with us. Thanks, as always, for being Hokies. Can't wait to see you once again on Saturday.